It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh at three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. Wednesday edition. It is March 8th of 2023. The madness continues. Championship week continues here on The Fan. A doubleheader of conference tournament championships last night. A couple real good games if you tuned in. And tonight we've got the Patriot League Championship. Colgate and Lafayette going up against one another. And, I can hear the haters out there. Cole, what's a Colgate? I don't even know what that is. What's the Patriot League? Okay, come on, get with it. And really, all jokes aside, to see, I mean, they're playing for everything, right? It's not like, and not to throw the Big Ten or Big 12 tournament under the bus, but these young dudes are playing for that automatic berth to the NCAA tournament, and this is the only way to get it. I mean, it is peak college athletics in an environment like this in these one-bid leagues, and you'll get another one tonight, another doozy, I would imagine, the Patriot League Championship with pregame coverage beginning at 6:15. Tip off of that one between Colgate and Lafayette at 6:30. So keep it locked right here as Maximum Sports March continues. And we've got a lot to get to in the time being between then and now. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. If you're perhaps not on the tweet machine, maybe you're on the Zuck machine, find us on Facebook. Type in 1650 The Fan. You should find us. Then just hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go there. You can check out the podcast of the show. Perhaps you saw a tweet about who was going to be on, who was on, couldn't listen live. You can always listen on demand. And you can also get all sorts of local and statewide sports content. You can get local news there. You can get national sports. It's a one-stop shop. Check it out. Bookmark it. 1650thefan.com. Number to dial, 319-277-1918 if you want to join today with any questions or comments for the program. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could email the program. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, like usual, we'll get it going here in just a few moments with area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. After we're done there, of course, we'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. It doesn't seem like anybody can quite make up their mind on what the weather's going to do over the next 48 hours, 72 hours, give or take. But it's going to do something that's not necessarily what I think the most of us prefer. So just keep that in mind if you've got, you know, your commutes coming up here to wind down the week. We'll get the details from Megan Mulford, as I mentioned, at the end of this next timeout. We'll come back from that break, and friend of the show, college basketball TV analyst Kevin Lehman is scheduled to join. A lot to talk about with the coach. Of course, the Big Ten and Big 12 tournaments getting underway. Iowa State, Iowa both making their preparations. They're both 5 seeds in their respective tournaments. You've got the Drake Bulldogs already having punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament with that win that we talked about earlier this week over Bradley on Sunday in the MVC men's basketball tournament. Coach was down there calling that game, so we'll get his thoughts on that one, of course, and then get his final thoughts on the season that was for the UNI men's basketball team. We'll probably also dip into the conversation that's been a running theme for, I wouldn't say just since Monday, for how long now, guys? Probably a week and a half. Been talking a little bit here and there about bracketology, and I did what the young kids do a lot. Well, and I shouldn't single out the young kids. I holstered the Twitter machine last night and had some feisty fingers. I'll put it that way. And I'll take you through it for the folks out there that want the content but don't want to deal with everything that comes with being on Twitter. I can understand that. So here's I fired off last night right around 7 o'clock. I would say this is after I got a little dinner in my stomach. Sat down to watch. It was that Charleston UNCW game last night, the CAA championship, and I'm watching Charleston play ball. They're 30-3 going into that game, and at one point, I want to say in the first half, they were down by 9. And I'm like, man, it would just be a crime, an absolute crime, if this team gets left out, because I had seen yesterday on Joe Lunardi from ESPN, his bracketology, that if Charleston didn't win, they were on the bubble. And I just thought, that's ridiculous. You cannot win 30 games and not only not make it, but even be suggested to be on the bubble. Oh, well, who did they play? Well, let me take you through what this experience last night on the couch brought forth, like I mentioned, with some feisty fingers on Twitter. It was a 4-tweet thread. That's what they call it, a thread. So my first tweet read, most bracketologists, last 4 in and first 4 out, are all Power 5 teams. That game last night, it was on CBS Sports Network. They had Jerry Palm's bracketology. Never much cared for Jerry Palm's bracketology. Don't get it twisted. It's not like a personal attack on Jerry. I just haven't cared for his bracketology. So the tweet reads, most bracketologists, last 4 in and first 4 out, are all Power 5 teams. Who really cares to watch the 8th or 9th place team from a Power 5 over a non-Power 5 that's won 27 to 30 games? Cinderella is an endangered species, and it ought to be a damn crime. Hashtag March Madness. Of course, I couldn't stop there. I replied to my own tweet, beginning this thread, awakening many of my followers on Twitter. Got a decent amount of support. I thank those people. The next tweet reads, if a team won at Ohio State tonight, who's 13 and 18, it's a, quote, quad one win. If you won at home against Purdue, that's also a quad one win. But tell me more about how the transition from RPI to net rankings was in the best interest of college basketball and not just the Power Fives. Obviously some sarcasm there. We go to the third of 4 tweets, and I add Power Fives canceling in-state out-of-conference rivalry games, Iowa State, right? And you got a rigged system for non-Power Fives who will accept the steep challenge of building at-large worthy resumes. Not to mention economic losses of those in-state games, which cannot go overlooked if you call yourself an ally of small business. Fourth and final tweet, the fact 30-3 Charleston is, quote, on the bubble without a CAA tourney win tonight is criminally revealing. If you think young, grown men playing basketball have that much of a gap between their ability to play the sport and win games, whether it's Kansas or Charleston, across the front of their jersey, You are wrong. End rant. Tell me what you think. Email me, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Respond on Twitter, at RealColeBert. Post on our Facebook page or dial me up, 319-277-1918. And shout out to a friend of mine who replied and I think added a very important bit of evidence to the argument that I'm making here. Points out that the Drake Bulldogs, thankfully they got the automatic bid, but he says Drake's RPI is up to 29. Guess what their net ranking is? It's in the low 50s. Net rigged for the big boys, but that's what it was always meant to do. I will now step down from the soapbox momentarily. Probably get back up on it in the next segment, but we got some area sports news and scores to get to, so let's have some fun today on the show. We're going to talk a lot of hoops. After the coach, Kevin Lehman, joins us in the next segment, we'll take the timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side of that break. UNI women's basketball coach Tanya Warren is going to join us, preview the MVC women's basketball tournament. After we're done talking with Coach Warren, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up a Wednesday edition of the show. So that's the plan, boys and girls. We're diving right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. Waterloo West's Sahara Williams has been named the Max Preps Iowa High School Girls Basketball Player of the Year. The 5'10" senior guard led the Wahawks to a 22-2 record and a Class 5A state tournament quarterfinal appearance. For the season, she averaged 20.8 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals per game. She's headed to Oklahoma next season and is the first player from Iowa to be selected to the McDonald's All-American game since Caitlin Clark in 2020. She will also participate in the Nike Hoops Summit. The boys' state basketball tournament continued today in Des Moines. The state's large schools on display, quarterfinals in Class 4A. Then this evening, it's going to be semifinals in Class 1A. The boys' basketball tournament goes through Friday. Hawkeye Community College announced it will be adding men's and women's wrestling programs. The sport will begin in the fall of 2024. Hawkeye is currently looking to find a head coach for both programs. Scholarships will be available for both teams, and student-athletes will compete as part of the Iowa Community College Athletic Conference and the National Junior College Athletic Association. Iowa State is getting ready for a quarterfinal matchup against Baylor tomorrow morning in the Big 12 men's basketball tournament. Cyclones take on the Bears at 11:30 in Kansas City. Iowa State looking for a clean season sweep of 10th-ranked Baylor. Cyclones won both games in the regular season by 15 points. You can hear that game right here on The Fan, pregame at 10:30 tomorrow morning. As I mentioned, tip-off at 11. Meanwhile, the Iowa men's basketball team looks to begin its defense of the Big Ten tournament tomorrow. The Hawkeyes will take on either Wisconsin or Ohio State tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 at United Center in Chicago. This marks the second straight year that Iowa will be the 5 seed. Last year, the Hawks won the tournament, winning 4 games in 4 days. Iowa enters the tournament 19-12 overall. Number one ranked Wartburg Wrestling is preparing for the NCAA D3 National Championships. The tournament takes place Friday and Saturday in Roanoke, Virginia. The Knights qualified a total of 7 wrestlers. Wartburg is the defending national champs. And UNI freshman softball catcher Alexis Papillo has been named to the Missouri Valley Conference Newcomer of the Week. Last week, she was 6-for-13 at the plate, hit 3 homers, drove in 6, defensively had 37 putouts and no errors while catching all 3 of the Panthers' starting pitchers. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. When we come back, the coach, Kevin Lehman, college basketball television analyst, joins us. We're talking Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, Drake, and more on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
As a news anchor, I'm hoping for more from Perloff tomorrow. This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if you could save hundreds on car insurance. Another legend has walked away. Last year was Coach K, Jay Wright recently, and today it is Jim Boeheim. The 77-74 loss to Wake Forest in the ACC tournament was his final game. As the school announced, the 78-year-old is ending his legendary career. After 47 years, longtime assistant and former player Adrian Autry succeeds him. Boeheim took the Orange to the Final Four five times and won the national championship in 2003. He had been part of the program as an assistant or head coach since 1969 after playing for the Orange during his collegiate career. John Morant will not face any charges in Colorado after posting an Instagram video of himself at a club in which he allegedly had a gun. Police said there was no probable cause to charge
What's
the Grizzlies
up, Coach?
All-star, nor was there any disturbances at the club.
Sounds good.
I'm Rich Ackerman.
Coming up later on the Zach Gelb Show, Geno Smith and Daniel Jones
Drake.
Both paid, but who will have the better season in 2023? We discuss 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio. From the Blue Bloods to the Cinderellas, listen to all the madness of March right here on The Fan.
At Waterloo Schools, we believe in bold ideas, bold goals, bold ambitions, and taking bold steps to help our students achieve their dreams. This month, we're celebrating some major achievements in winter sports and extracurriculars, like Waterloo West's Hallie Polk just broke the Wahawk all-time scoring record and reached the 2,000-point milestone. Then, at the Tall Corn Jazz Festival, Waterloo West and East performed masterfully, with East's Braden Peterson and Blazin Barbie McLemore bringing home the Outstanding Soloist Awards for their performances. And our student athletes from East and West made it to state in wrestling, and our girls and boys bowling teams made it to the state bowling tournament as well. We're celebrating these wins and more as we make our way through the championship season for our winter sports. But it all starts in the classroom, where at Waterloo Schools, we inspire students to go beyond doubt and fear, to persevere and be bold. Join us at waterlooschools.org.
When it's cold outside, you can dress for it. But when your furnace gives out, hey, a blanket fort can only do so much. So call your local 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll replace your old furnace with a new high-efficiency one. And that beats a bunch of blankets any day. Right now, cozy up to big savings on a complete heating system. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-Hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
The Big 12 tournament tips off today at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. West Virginia laying 4 against Texas Tech. Oklahoma State a 1.5-point favorite over Oklahoma. Iowa State opens in the quarterfinals Thursday. They're a 4-point underdog against Baylor, 134.5 the total. Big Ten tournament tipping off United Center in Chicago today. Ohio State a 2-point favorite over Wisconsin, 131.5 the total there. The winner will get Iowa in the next round. And also today, Minnesota, a 6-point dog against Nebraska. In the NBA, the Chicago Bulls are an 8.5-point underdog at Denver, 229.5 the total. Mike Sunnett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A winter storm warning begins at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until midnight Friday morning. Cloudy tonight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 32. Winds out of the east 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely 35. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 37.
Now, back to more Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
I've got some people in my foxhole here. Chris emails the show regarding me saying that it was criminal for Charleston of the CAA with 30 wins headed into last night's conference tournament game to be regarded by Joe Lunardi or any bracketologist for that matter as on the bubble. And Chris points out in an email to Cole at 1650thefan.com, Charleston beat Richmond, Virginia Tech, Davidson, Kent State, and put up 86 points on a then number one ranked North Carolina, was ranked as high as number 18 in mid-January. Chris says they are worthy, in my opinion. Couldn't agree more. With that being said, let's bring in the coach, college basketball television analyst Kevin Lehman, on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, I think you probably got a vibe for what I may have been getting at in the opening segment of today's show. I'm here carrying the torch for the little man. I don't like that name, but I don't like that name at all. But college basketball's blue bloods, the brand names, they irk me this time of year, especially when we get into bracketology.
They irk everyone that's a Missouri Valley fan and a fan of the mid majors. Last night I had Oral Roberts Summit League Championship. They had 30 wins.
If they
did not win last night, they were going to be sitting out in the NIT watching the rest of them play. And this is a team that 2 years ago made a run to the Sweet 16, and they're better this year than they were then. So it's what the net next eliminated mid-major team. It should be called the NIMPT instead of the net.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too sidetracked on this. We got a lot we should get to with Drake, you and I, Iowa and Iowa State, but I thought in a long conversation that I was able to get out of Ben Jacobson and his availability on Monday, he made a very great point where if you went on the road tonight, Coach, and you played at Ohio State, the Buckeyes are 13-18. That's a quad one win. If you go on the road and beat Ohio State tonight, if you beat Purdue at home tonight, that's a quad one win. These quad one wins are so not built equally. It's ridiculous.
Kansas has 19 quad one wins. That's a crazy number, but they have the opportunities to get those numbers because of the league they play in and the fact they're going to play, an SEC-ACC challenge game? SEC-Big 12 challenge game and those other challenge matches that they have. So the system, I tell you what, I got a great insight from who called the championship game of the Valley. The analyst.
Well, I know it was Kevin Harlan, and who was with him? I can't remember right now.
Same guy who called the newbie shot in 1990.
Oh, boy. But
I talked to him, and he said, blame Doug Elgin for the net. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, Doug Elgin solved the RPI problem in 2005, 6, 7 when the Valley was getting four teams in. And the big school said, wait a minute, we can't have this anymore. And therefore, the net emerged, which gives you extra points for those quad one and quad two wins. And those power conferences stopped scheduling the mid-majors.
You know what they call somebody who changes the rules so they can keep winning? They call them a tyrant, Coach. That's what they call it.
I think Doug Elgin's sitting on a beach in Hawaii right now. I wouldn't call him a tyrant.
I'm not calling Doug a tyrant. I'm calling those who made these rule changes. It wasn't Doug's fault. He played the hand he was dealt. But then it's the ones who were bitching and moaning in the power conferences. Yeah. They're the tyrants.
Well, they wanted to get in those teams that went, back that time, the 9-11 teams in the Big Ten before they went to the 20-game schedule.
Yeah.
They wanted to get those teams in the tournament. Those sub-500s in those five power conferences plus the Big East. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen.
Yeah, it is. It is. They're having their cake and eating it, too. I want to get to some positive vibes here. So let's talk about the Drake men's basketball team, which took care of business and then some with a big win over Bradley this past Sunday. You called that game. The Bulldogs, to me, Coach, proved themselves, put the stamp on it. We are the team out of the Missouri Valley best equipped to go to the NCAA tournament and make noise and be as competitive as anybody can out of this valley. Don't you agree?
I think Drake, but I think you could throw Indiana State in there too. I think that's a very dangerous team, and I'm not sure they're going to even get in the NIT. They may be CBI bound just because they finished, they're the fifth seed in the valley. That's going to be interesting to see who goes NIT. Bradley, of course, by winning the regular season title, but finishing third was Southern Illinois, which I don't think is a tournament-type team.
No.
But they could be an NIT choice because they finished third, according to Rich Savozak, my partner, the other analyst on those Valley games. And Rich knows what he's talking about because he's on the committee for, I believe, the CIT where he picks the teams. He said they will not take Indiana State over Southern Illinois, which surprised me. But Back to your original question, I think with Roman Penn, a point guard who can control a game, and with DeVries, who can hit big shots and make big shots, yeah, they're a dangerous team in the NCAA tournament.
Well, tell me this. You mentioned you called that game last night, Oral Roberts in North Dakota State, Summit League Conference Tournament Championship. Who do you think is a more dangerous mid-major? Because, Coach, you could become everybody's best friend right now who's going to fill out a bracket. They want to know what the insiders know about these teams that are not the brand names that makes the difference so they can win the pool.
Yeah, I think it depends on their draw, but I think both of those teams, Oral Roberts will be a 12 seed and Drake will be a 12 seed. So that matches them up with 7 seeds. Those will be sexy picks to win. Oral Roberts got a 7'4" guy in the middle who can block shots, who can make threes, can move around. Their guard play is unbelievably good with Max A. Smith, who burst on the scene 2 years ago. And they were St. Peter's before St. Peter's in the run that they made as a 15 seed. Now as a 12 seed, they should get a little easier draw. On my bracket, of course I'm going to take Drake. I would take Oral Roberts also. Right now, Lenardi has them matched up against Iowa State in the first round. That is Oral Roberts and the Cyclones.
Ooh, wow, what a juicy matchup that would be. My goodness, what a tough draw. That would be for Coach Otzelberger's team. We'll talk about them in just a little bit. A final point on Drake and what we talked about at first, Coach, Doug Elgin solving the Rubik's Cube of RPI. Here's more proof of it. Drake's RPI, now their net ranking, the Bulldogs, somewhere in the low 50s right now, Coach. You know what their RPI is?
I'm going to guess probably about 40.
It's 29.
I'm just guessing. Oh. You know what else I forgot to mention? Because to make them successful in the NCAA tournament, they got a big guy in Darnell Brody, who really played well in the Valley tournament. Should have been on the All-Valley tournament team, but was overlooked.
I voted for him, by the way. Your guy.
You doubted me. You were doubting Thomas for most of the season.
I had my doubts about Darnell Brody. Yes, he played well in St. Louis, and I hope he can continue that in the tournament, because like you point out, they're really going to need that. You need a great point guard. You need a good big man. They've got both of those things. They need him to continue to be a good big man. And, of course, Tucker's got to make them shots, like you point out. Let's finish the Valley.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me give you one more point. Calhoun has to play well for him.
Oh, he was great.
He came off that bench. Yeah, when he's great, they win. When he's not, they struggle.
You and I, Coach Ben Jacobson, pointed out Monday how his program rarely has a record below 500. But he said that, despite that fact, he said it was one of the more fun seasons that he's had, and that, learned as much about a team in a given year that he has in his tenure. How immediately bright, as in next season, do you think these Panthers' future is?
Oh, I think the upside is unbelievable, and a lot of it depends on Austin Fife. Heisey's going to be back. Duax is going to be an all-league player, and I really think Trey Campbell's head that way too, with a little work in the rope in the weight room. And of course, you got Bowen Bourne back. Now, if you would have voted after the Valley tournament, he might have been on that top six for first team All Valley. The way he performed against Illinois State, that guy is a baller. So they got him. I think huge upside. Even the Jeff Jackson, the commissioner, I talked to down and said, hey, you and I is going to be a top three pick next year in the preseason polls.
Jeff Jackson's a smart guy. He's done a great job, hasn't he?
He really has. That event down there was first class. I tell you what they did they hadn't done before. Wednesday they had a banquet. In the past we had a luncheon. Every team came to that banquet, and it required all team members to be there. And the reason why, he said, we want Evansville, who's struggling, to be part of this. And they can see those teams are successful. They can hear Wardle talk about Coach here. They can see Tucker DeVries up there and give an acceptance speech for the Larry Bird Trophy. And I thought that was a stroke of genius, because the Valley has always been one big family, and this included everyone. I thought it was a great move by the Valley Brass.
I didn't know that. That's really cool to hear. All right, let's quickly move to the Big 12 Conference Tournament. The Iowa State Cyclones, they go on the road with their backs against the wall, having lost, what was it, 4 in a row or 5 in a row, and then beat number 7 Baylor in Waco last Saturday. Then their prize for that is they got to turn around and play them tomorrow in the Big 12 tournament at 11:30 in the morning. They're the 5 seed, the Cyclones. Baylor, the 4 seed. This Big 12 tournament, Coach, I mean, we've got legalized sports gambling now, but I wouldn't encourage anybody to put more than $5 down on any of these games. How in the world could you predict this tournament?
I see Iowa State as a 4-point underdog in that game against Baylor, and they've beaten them twice at home and on the road. How about T.J. Altsberger putting everyone, even his walk-ons, in that game at Baylor in the first half? That is a gutsy move by T.J. Altsberger. And certainly, after what they've gone through with Caleb Grill, the turmoil on that team, and he's throwing dudes in there to make them feel part of the team, that's a big-time coaching move.
Yeah, credit him and his staff. And you know what? I think our guy KG, Kyle Green, might have had something to do with that move, pushing that button. And it certainly paid off. I mean, do you have a favorite in the Big 12 tournament? Do you have a team that you think is best built for tournament basketball, despite the fact the league has just incredible parity?
Well, you'd have to go with Kansas because they're the sexy pick now to win the NCAA tournament.
Well, you have to go with Kansas.
But the deal is they don't have to win it. So where's their motivation?
Yeah.
Do they want to get a little extra rest? That's what I don't like about these tournaments. There's a couple teams trying to play their way in. Like in the, we'll get to the Big Ten, but, you know, Michigan's trying to get in there. In this tournament, Oklahoma State needs to win, you know, a couple games to get off the bubble and get on the right side of it. But when you get to mid-major tournaments, it's a do-or-die deal. That's why those things have so much emotion to them and why I think they're more enjoyable to watch than these Power Five tournaments.
The Iowa Hawkeyes, they take on the winner of Ohio State and Wisconsin. I think that game just tipped off. That game the Hawks will play, they're the 5 seed. Tips around 1:30 tomorrow. After, you know, going on the road to Indiana, getting that big win, then coming home on Senior Day this past weekend, Coach, and really just not finding any sort of way to slow down Nebraska, who has been playing better basketball on the back half of the season, for whatever that's worth. Man, you just don't know what Hawkeye team's going to show up. I mean, 30 games into the season.
How do you get beat when you get 21 more field goal attempts than your opponent and you're at home? I'm still trying to figure out. I'm looking at this, you know, stat sheet, and I'm like, how does that happen? You got to shoot it really bad and go get all your misses, I guess is how it happened. But, yeah, is this the team that's going to show up that played at Wisconsin and Purdue? Or Wisconsin Northwestern made a total of 6 threes, or the one that beat Michigan State? And I don't know who else, they had a total of 30 threes Indiana and Michigan State.
A lot of times, Coach, you can say, you know, this is a team that, you know, they could use a couple wins in their conference tournament. It'd be really important for them right now. Or, you know, it doesn't really matter if they get upset. We've seen the body of work. We know they're good. I don't even know where to dig in on that, for example. I mean, I don't know. Who knows anything?
Well, I think it's big for Iowa because if they lose – to this Ohio State-Wisconsin winner. First of all, Wisconsin needs the win to get in the tournament. But they lose, they're going to be somewhere looking at that 8-9 seed again, which means you're going to play number one in that second round, should you win the first one. So there is some lot on the line here for the Hawkeyes to advance in this Big Ten tournament.
I got a question for you. Speaking of Wisconsin being a bubble team, 5-game series on a neutral floor, who you putting your money on, Bradley or Wisconsin?
Well, the score, I'm going to say whoever gets to 50 first in that game wins it.
Okay, well, then who you picking?
Hopefully I wouldn't have to broadcast it because it would not be good basketball. You know, that's a great point because the Bradley team at times, if Hickman's making shots, they're really good. But when Hickman can't make shots or you have some other struggles, they really slog down at the offensive end. And I thought Darren DeVries, what he did, he took – Sturts and put at 6'3", 180 pounds, and put him on the 6'10 mast for the second time in a week.
Yeah.
They just got better at it, and it worked. They took your guy Brody and stuck him as a goaltender, Garden Henry or whoever else was in there, and he told me he's going to do it again. They're just going to do it better. Here's what I knew Drake was going to win. I talked to Marty Richter in warmups. He said, we counted 26 points we gave up to Bradley just by mental mistakes, not guarding a screen and roll properly, not getting a dive man. I said, well, you know, still going to score a couple of points over the top of good defense. He goes, yeah, but still, we have we got about 15 points we can make up just by subtle changes. I thought,
wow,
Drake's going to win this game easily.
Yeah, good point. Coach, I got to run. Great stuff. Continue to enjoy March. I know I am.
Oh, baby, can't wait till Sunday. Selection Sunday. Party at my house, man. Come on down.
All right, send me the details.
All right, buddy, have a good one.
You too. ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this time out. On the other side, you and I women's basketball coach Tanya Warren joins us next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports and Radio Iowa. I'm Tad Kim. The postseason begins tomorrow for Iowa and Iowa State. The Hawkeyes are the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament in Chicago and open tomorrow afternoon against the winner of tonight's game between Ohio State and Wisconsin. It'll take 4 wins in 4 days for the Hawkeyes to win it, a run they made a year ago in winning the championship, and Coach Fran McCaffrey says depth is a must.
You know, I feel like we have a solid bench. You know, I shortened it a little bit recently, going with our veteran guys. And you can do that, but it's hard, you know, 4 days in a row.
Iowa State opens the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City tomorrow with the early game against 10th-ranked Baylor. The Cyclones beat the Bears twice during the season, including a lopsided win in Waco on Saturday. At the Boys State Basketball Tournament Class 4A quarterfinals, it was Waukee over Ames, 58-40. Waukee Northwest beat Ankeny Centennial, 55-37. This is Radio Iowa.
Email from school. About the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No. But you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes. But if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. Attention all parents in Cedar Falls whose children will be in the class of 2036. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th in order to attend kindergarten in the 2023-24 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student. The principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed kindergarten registration forms are required for all incoming students and must be turned in by March 30th. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. Visit cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Hi, this is Andrew Kaler from Denver Insurance. You can trust us and Grinnell Mutual to take care of you today and tomorrow. Serving you is our specialty because we make your needs our priority. Get coverage from the people you know will be there when you need them most. With Grinnell Mutual, you can trust in tomorrow. Contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Denver Insurance today.
Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
We don't realize how much our breathing affects our everyday lives until this. Or this. Or this. Our team at Cedar Valley Center for ENT Sinus and Allergy is here to make breathing a breeze. We will treat your allergies, sleep apnea, and sinusitis using innovative procedures and technology. Talk to Dr. David Congdon and Dr. Kenny Rodriguez and put your breathing problems in the past. Call 319-888-8044 for a consultation today. Don't let breathing problems disrupt your everyday life. Breathe easy with Cedar Valley Center for ENT Sinus and Allergy.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan, and really pleased right now to be joined by UNI women's basketball coach Tanya Warren. Her Panthers finished in third place in the regular season race in the Missouri Valley Conference, just one game behind a pair of teams in Illinois State and Belmont that were sitting atop the league. And now it's all going to be settled with the NCAA at-large berth, or automatic berth, I should say, on the line this weekend in Moline, the Missouri Valley Conference Women's Basketball Tournament. Coach Warren, thanks so much for being here. I was just thinking about how, you know, when we get older, kind of the charm of Christmas or maybe the Tooth Fairy, it loses itself a little bit. But I feel like for basketball junkies like ourselves, you kind of almost lose sleep a little bit in nights in March because it's really just a special time of the year, is it not?
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, it's called March Madness for a reason. And if you're any type of basketball fan at all, you can't help but be excited. And you probably circle the month of March just looking forward to all the basketball. I mean, there's not a day that basketball's not on, and there's so many highs and lows and tears of joy and all of those things. And just to be able to witness that is extremely special.
Well, you've got a special group that looks like they could have some big things on the horizon. Obviously, the goal this weekend to secure that automatic bid out of the Missouri Valley Conference. 21-8 overall, 16-4 in the Missouri Valley Conference this season. Coach, just tell me, what are two or three things that as the season went on, you became, you know, you grew to like most about this team?
Well, you know, I said early on that I thought this team would be good. I didn't know when, but I thought this team had the potential to be very, very good. Mm-hmm. And as the season went on, I thought our chemistry was tremendous. They were very selfless. They didn't care who got the headlines. They loved sharing the basketball. And then we were able to do some different things defensively. Coming into this season, in the summer, we really wanted to spend a lot on offense and not as much on defense as we had in the past. So I was a little worried defensively, but as the season went on, I thought we really, really locked in to what it is we wanted to do, even though we didn't get the reps that we had in the past. And that says something about our young women in terms of their focus and their ability to adapt from scouting report to scouting report.
Take us inside that a little bit, Coach. You don't have to give your big secrets away, but I know you like to play 10, 11 sometimes in your rotation. What does that afford your defense, and what, if anything else, has really been a difference maker on that end of the floor?
Well, what we really went into this year is how could we get more points in transition and more paint points without necessarily having to pound it inside, and also being able to get ourselves to the free throw line. And I think when you look at what we've been able to do throughout the consistency of the season, we've been able to do that. And in order to play that way, you have to be able to play multiple people. And I think what has allowed us to be successful is we legitimately have five kids on the floor at all times that can score, that people have to pay attention to. And that's allowed us to be able to share the basketball, and that's allowed us to be able to average a little over 70-plus points per game.
You and I women's basketball coach Tanya Warren, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, as you mentioned on Monday, it sure was nice to see what Missouri State was game to let happen with Cynthia Wolf. Being honored, being able to score there at the start of that game on senior day. Take us into the unfortunate X's and O's side of things. You know, what have the adjustments been like that your staff and your players have had to make so you can continue to play at the same level despite the big loss of Cynthia Wolf?
Well, first of all, there's no words to express when you see a player go down. Especially, you know, someone who has given 5 years to your program and had chose to come back for a fifth year when they could have graduated and literally was just a week from senior day. Your heart breaks. Yeah. But this team has shown the ability to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and keep up moving all year long. And one of the things that we talked about in the huddle after Cynthia went down is, the best way we could help Cynthia is to play our fannies off for her.
Yeah.
And I think that this team has been able to do that. And with our depth, one of the things that we talked about, not one person has to do everything, but everybody has to do a little bit of something. And I think that is what you are starting to see and what has taken place. We can't replace her. we don't need to replace her with one, but everybody has to do a little bit of something.
Coach Warren, you mentioned how the focus in the offseason was on the offense, getting that new scheme installed. What's been the most important things for this team to develop over the course of the season with this new scheme? So, you know, right now, as we sit here in March, you're playing at a much higher level. You know, you've leveled mm-hmm. up two or three times mm-hmm. within this mm-hmm. scheme.
Mm-hmm. Well, make or miss, get the basketball out and up and to really try to play downhill. The ball's got to switch sides of the floor. We talk a lot about the ball has to have life. Mm-hmm. And that means ball movement and also player movement and our ability to get downhill and draw that defense and hit that open kid or get downhill and finish. But ball and player movement and make or miss, being able to get the basketball out and up.
And a big part of that has been your point guard, Maya McDermott. I mean, she's had an outstanding season. Got to mention Grace Buffelli, Emerson Green. They've all been great, but I think when it comes to that offense, in fairness to everybody, she's kind of the straw that stirs the drink there for the most part, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. We go as she goes, and I can't say enough about the year that Maya's had, and I've said a lot. Maya was extremely patient because when we recruited her, she was only supposed to be, you know, a year behind Carly, and we had the COVID, and she was patient playing behind a four-year, you know, first-team All-Missouri Valley Conference kid, and this is her time to shine, and mm-hmm. She's done a terrific job, and she's a three-level scorer, and not only can she get downhill and shoot the three and shoot the floater, but the thing that Maya does really, really well, and she does all of those things well, is she makes those around her better with her ability to get mm-hmm. her teammates the ball where they can score.
Yeah, that's obvious. If you just turn your team on or show up at McLeod Center and watch them, she's really a force out there for you. You had mentioned on Monday as well, putting in some new things, some wrinkles. And I get the impression, Coach Warren, that in your experience, because Valley teams know each other so well, that you can't not show up to the conference tournament without a couple things that are not on film, right?
Oh, no, you have to because, again, this is a great league with great coaches. And one of the things that this league is known for is we play each other to the weaknesses. And when you're, I mean, we're probably going to play somebody that we just played less than 2 to 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So they scout well, we scout well, and you have to be able to have a couple of wrinkles both offensively and defensively in your back pocket.
A couple more minutes here with UNI women's basketball coach Tanya Warren previewing the Missouri Valley Conference women's basketball tournament. Hoops in the Heartland gets going tomorrow. The Panthers will get going on Friday in the three, obviously, they're the three seed. They'll take on the winner of 6-seed UIC and 11-seed Valparaiso. We'll talk about that matchup with Coach in just a little bit. That game's going to be at 8:30 on Friday night. You can see it on ESPN+. Coach, tournament basketball, I think we were kind of getting at it there already, but for multiple reasons, whether it's X's and O's or other reasons, it's a different beast, and especially in the Valley where that automatic bid is up for grabs and you don't always know how many, if any, teams are going to be able to earn an at-large bid. Just what can you say about the experience of playing tournament basketball and the things that you point out to your team that are important to have success in an environment like this weekend's?
Well, I think when you look at this, I mean, we were fortunate enough to make it to the championship last year, and we mm-hmm. lost by two. And when you look back at that game, I think we all – especially in the second half, got a little tight, coaches included. I think the most important thing that we have to be able to do is just play UNI basketball and just play. There's going to be mistakes. You just have to play. You have to have a short-term memory, and you got to be able to come out and execute and make in-game adjustments. But more than anything else, just play to win.
Yeah.
Play to win. Have zero fear in losing. Just play to win.
And finally, like I mentioned, you're going to play either the 6-seed UIC or 11-seed Valpo, and those are two teams that perhaps couldn't be more different. That's certainly going to challenge your group. I mean, you got to be real nimble, right? I mean, that's tournament basketball at its finest, isn't that? We might have to play this way or that way.
And that's an understatement. I mean, they are drastically different. We literally could start two different teams two different lineups depending on who we play. One is they're extremely athletic. They're going to guard you 94 feet. They're going to pick you up. They're going to pound it inside. And the other one's going to start five guards, and they're going to shoot threes or get downhill and shoot layups. So either way, we're going to have to be ready because we don't know. So now it becomes not as much physical reps as it is mental reps. Mm-hmm. The mental reps really, really become extremely important for us.
Coach Warren, best of luck this weekend. You got a great team that certainly can make some noise and get that automatic bid. So best of luck, best of health, and thanks so much for joining the show today.
You bet. Thank you, Cole.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Giants and Daniel Jones just beat the clock on the franchise tag Tuesday, signing him to a four-year deal. NFL Network insiders Mike Garofolo and Ian Rappaport report the deal is worth $160 million. And they weren't done dealing. The team placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on running back Saquon Barkley. The Giants and Barkley can continue to negotiate a long-term contract until July 17th. The Ravens have placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on quarterback Lamar Jackson. The tag is worth over $32 million for Jackson, who is permitted to sign an offer sheet with another team. If he does, Baltimore would then hold the right to match it and retain Jackson, or let him go in exchange for significant draft compensation. Ian Rappaport also reporting the Packers granted Aaron Rodgers permission to speak with the Jets. And NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero reports a contingent of Jets flew to visit Rodgers Tuesday. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
At the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, sports and activities are going on year-round. Basketball, volleyball, pickleball, and swimming lessons start soon. Take a class from one of our 40-plus fitness offerings and start your new year off right. Pump some iron, walk on the track, or swim laps in the pool. Have a great time with all your friends at the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, located at 669 South Hackett Road in Waterloo. The YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
First Bank is one of the few remaining community banks in this area, and our vision really matches up with endowments, foundations like the Cedar Falls Schools Foundation.
And there's nothing more community than the local public school district.
It's always been very important for our board of directors to support locally whenever we can. That extends to who we have handling our investments.
We want to be a partner to them. We want to help them be successful, and we really want them to grow.
First Bank, serving you first.
Did you know there's a place where you can get good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates on home and auto insurance? Yep, here's the deal. This is State Farm agent Brad Jacobson, and I am your go-to agent in Cedar Falls for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop shopping around. Call me, Brad Jacobson, at 319-277-4134 for your surprisingly great rates today. 319-277-4134. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens have been at a stalemate on the contract extension for a while now. And yesterday it was reported the Ravens will not use the exclusive tag on the former MVP. That will allow other teams the ability to negotiate a contract with him. And if a deal lands outside of Baltimore's price range, the Ravens receive two first-round draft picks in exchange for the quarterback. But Baltimore's hesitancy to attach themselves to Jackson may not be the whole story here. Ever since Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed $230 million contract with the Browns, Lamar has reportedly been in search of a similar deal. That has angered plenty of owners, but the league will now have the opportunity to send a message to its players loud and clear with Jackson. Because of a former MVP with a 73% winning percentage isn't going to get a fully guaranteed mega deal, then it's pretty clear the Deshaun Watson contract is an exception, not the rule. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. You know our partners, TireRack.com, you know, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, tire decision guy. They test the tires. They've got their own test track where they push tires to the limit. Yeah, those guys. You want a quiet tire with great traction, comfortable ride. Use their results to make an informed choice. They sell only the best, like the full lineup of Bridgestone tires. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See for yourself. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
We're going to skate to one song only.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan in the Cedar Valley at 102.3 FM and across eastern Iowa at 1650 AM.
Welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday. Got to thank college basketball TV analyst Kevin Lehman and UNI women's basketball coach Tanya Warren for both joining today's show. If you missed any of it, it'll be available shortly in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. Coming up tonight, later on The Fan, just 20 minutes from now, championship week continues. The Patriot League championship tonight. Colgate taking on Lafayette. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 tip-off. Keep it locked right here. A couple good games last night. I'm betting this is going to be another home dinger. I will be back tomorrow at 5. Iowa State-Baylor tomorrow morning at 10:30. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.